Afternoon all, I'd like to call the Property Tax and Local Government Division meeting to order for the day. And we do not have a quorum available, but we can at least get started hearing Representatives Bill, House File 39.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. I would move House File 39 and not quite sure of the disposition, but I'll rely on the chair for that. This bill comes to me, the idea from the city walker, and I have with me here today Mayor Scott Brun from the city of Walker, and this would just short and sweet as I can make it, Mr. Chair, allows the city of Walker to impose a local sales tax, 1.5% to pay for underground utility, street sidewalk improvements, much needed in their capital improvement plan that they laid out in 2012, and the city would issue up to $20 million in bonds, and this is based on a referendum that the city had, and the mayor can say more about that as he wishes, and then the tax would expire in 20 years or when the revenues are sufficient to pay for the improvements and any related bond costs. So with that, I would ask the Honorable Mayor Bruins to say a few words and then we'll stand for questions, Mr. Chair.
Absolutely. Mr. Mayor, please state your name for the record and welcome to the division.
My name is Scott Bruns. Mr. Chair and committee members, thank you for allowing me to appear before you today. As the representative said, we took a vote this last November. There's a total of 761 registered voters at the last election. We had a 76% turnout, 61% voted in favor of the sales tax, and 36% were opposed to the sales tax. Geographically, the city of Walker is kind of pinned in a little bit by Leech Lake. On one side, we're bordered by Walker Bay of Leech Lake, so there's no expansion that direction. We are surrounded by a double township, Shingebee Township, and there are three other townships that primarily serve, or the Walker serves. The population of Shingebee Township is just about double of what Walker is. The population of the four townships is a little over 3,400 people. The city of Walker is 943, and those are year-round residences. And those that may not be familiar with the Walker Leech Lake area, although a number of the resorts have gone away, we are made up of a lot of seasonal people. They're year-round homes for the most part, but they use them on a seasonal basis. And when I say a lot of the resorts have gone away, that's what's happened. We've gone from a weekly tourist industry to a seasonal residential type neighborhood or area. One of the big things is LGA has hurt us tremendously with the cutbacks in that. The school, we proposed to do a project this year. Last year we proposed to do it for this year. And the school was a part of that project, and they came to us at one of our board meetings and council meetings and asked us if we could delay that for a while because they just didn't have the money to pay for what assessment would be assessed to them. So we were looking for other ways in which I'll also mention Shingebee Township, because of the shutting down of the Agua Ching campus, the county bought that or for a dollar or whatever it was from the state and requested that city services be brought to there, therefore it had to be brought into the city limits of Walker. And in doing that, the township refused to do that unless they had a 10-year moratorium on annexation. So we have another 4 years left of no annexation from Shingivee Township. In lieu of that, we've been trying to find other ways in which to bring revenue into the city of Walker so that taxpayers in the city aren't burdened so much with the assessments.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Do we have questions? Yes, Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Mayor. So this would just be in the city of Walker. The two townships around would not participate, and this is just be... Is there any fear if that happens that it would drive business out of the city into those surrounding townships?
I would hope not. And again, that's why we're looking at the sales tax, so the business owners or property owners aren't assessed as much as what it normally would be.
Representative Faust.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of my pet peeves in life is local option sales tax. To me it's taxation without representation, and so it's just, you know, I'm sorry, it just bugs me. And I had a conversation just a little bit ago with somebody representing the St. Cloud area, and I told him exactly the same thing, that it's just one of those things that just, you know, it's like a sliver under your fingernail to me. I mean, I just really have a problem with it. And so what makes it worse is when you're using it for things that my communities are taxing their own residents to do. And so my understanding is this is all things, I'm sorry, I had it in front of me just a second ago. Here it is. Used for underground utility, streets, curb, gutter, sidewalks, improvements. I mean, those are all good things, but those are all things that my local people are paying for themselves, and if they drive to Walker, and are going to go up there for vacation, then they get to help pay for the Walkers also. And so, I'm just telling you, I have a problem with that. I guess more than ask a question. So, but thank you anyway.
Can I respond to that?
You sure?
Yeah, Mr. Bruns.
I totally agree with you, and we've had a number of meetings within the city, and we had a special council meeting to talk about the sales tax. And one of the business owners in town, when I met with the business community, made a comment that she had heard from two different people this past summer that, how come your sales tax is so low? So I think from surrounding communities around us, people are used to paying more sales tax than what we're charging up in Walker, which is a state level right now. The other thing I will respond to, and I'm not sure where you're from or what your mean income level is, but in Walker it's $24,593. And to expect those people to pay, for instance, the project I was talking about that we were hoping to go by the school was just over a $2 million project, to expect those people to pay that, and the assessment, as I understand it, is supposed to be this, the increase in value is supposed to be what the assessment is, and it's not. So I'm a real estate appraiser by trade, and it will not raise the values, the increment that assessment will.
Representative Carlson.
I have a couple of questions. I want to go back to your comments about the state hospital. Is part of this then to provide services? And I've visited that site, and I remember it's out of town a ways. So is part of this $20 million bonding authority going to go toward running sewer and water out to that site? Is that what you were saying earlier?
No, sewer and water already has been run out.
Well, that answers my question, because I would have assumed when the state hospital was still there before it was leveled that there would have been sewer and water there. So that's not what...
We have other issues out there that we're dealing with, and that's big thing is contamination. We just had two other residential developers come to us and want to develop out there, and in talking with the county, the majority of the money that they have gotten from the state and that they put into it has gone to cleaning up 11 or 14 acre sites, which they plan to use. There's other contaminated soils out there outside of that that haven't been dealt with yet.
And the other question, you mentioned, Mr. Chairman, LGA, and I was just curious how much LGA did you lose, or what percentage of your LGA dollars were lost?
Mr. Burns.
In 2002, we received $245,743. And 2013, we're certified to get $79,000.
Dramatic. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Representative Mahoney.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And just a comment to you. I'll ask you the question first, and then I'll make a comment to my colleague. How much of the economics of Walker is from people who don't live there, tourists, vacationers, people who use your services but really don't pay a property tax or any other tax in the area?
A tremendous amount, because that's why I talked about the population differences between the city of Walker and the townships around us. And just in year-round residents, they're more than double what we are. And again, that, as we say up there, and it quadruples in the summertime at least. And all those people use the services within the city of Walker and don't pay a dime. I was on city council a number of years before I became mayor. And we did a project that went by from the post office down around a grocery store over to the fire hall, and there were very few properties that could be assessed. And I didn't think it was fair. In my mind, I didn't think it was fair that we assessed those few property owners along there that a lot of people use. A lot of people use it. But that's the way the assessment was, and we're trying to lessen the burden to the property owners by doing something like this.
Thank you. Mr. Chair.
Representative Mahoney.
To Representative Faust, I mean, if people are, and that is one of the problems with our northern Minnesota tourism and tourism industry, is we send a tremendous amount of people into those particular areas. They really have no other, they have no ownership of the area, and they use all the services, yet they don't have to pay. And this is one of the ways that when you drive through and you wear and tear on their road, or use the restroom at the restaurant or gas station or wherever, you're paying for those particular services, and that's in a fully appropriate way. And on a larger scale, when you're in the metro areas, downtown Minneapolis has got 500,000 people working in downtown, maybe not that number, maybe it's 100,000, maybe it's 150,000, that pay no taxes in Minneapolis but use all their services. St. Paul's a little bit lesser number, but the same. So I think this is a good idea. Hopefully we can get through for you.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mayor, is the casino located within the city limits, or is it one of the townships you mentioned?
In one of the townships.
Okay. Have you considered applying for grants that I think maybe through public facilities financing are available for infrastructure?
Mr. Burns.
Yes, we have. We've explored many different types of grants and have been unsuccessful at this time to get the kind of grants we need to take care of the infrastructure we have to take care of.
And Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Erickson.
So, Mayor, you have applied for them, but you've gotten a no answer on all the applications.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Burns.
That's not totally true. We did just recently, this past year, we turned down a grant that we had gotten to bring the sewer line to an expanded and newly expanded industrial park, which was brought into the city limits of Walker. When I was appointed mayor two years ago, there was a problem with MPCA that our wells were showing contaminants mm-hmm. in it. And the on-site septic system we had was not as figured to where it was coming from. Our public works director, which we had just hired at that time, found out that the septic system was put in inadequately and was fixed by the company that put it in, and contaminants in the well went down. So the need, the force by MPCA to change that or bring the big pipe was reduced. And the reason we turned down the money to do it, because there was only four property owners in that industrial park that would have cost too much.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I understand. Thank you.
Any further questions from members? Do we have any additional testimony from the public? Hearing none, and seeing that we do have a quorum, I will make the motion for House File 39 be laid over for possible inclusion in the division report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, next we have Representative Labeling presenting on House File 297.
Good afternoon, members, and Mr. Chair. And
welcome to the committee, Representative Labeling.
Thank you.
And I will make the motion that your House File 297 be included in the division report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Chair, if there's one person here who should know how to pronounce my name, it's you.
Right? Labeling.
So my apologies. Labeling.
Labeling. My apologies.
Yes. A part of the LIE caucus.
Right.
Right.
You said it, not me.
No, you said it, Representative Brown, as you always do. So, so members, I'm here with House File 297, and this is what this is doing is providing the local share of the funding that we need for our bonding project, which is our expansion and renovation of our Civic Center in Rochester. And so in law right now we have another provision that previously our city had wanted to provide the local share by increasing the food and beverage tax. And Representative Faust should like this bill because we're removing that, but we're replacing it with an increase in the lodging tax. And we feel that this is a fair way to fund the local share, and we would be increasing the local lodging tax from 2%, well, by 2%. So it would go to a 4%, like 7% total. And that's pretty much the bill. There's, when you look at, I was just talking back there about some other communities around the country that are really competing with Rochester for patients, because I know you're all hearing about the Destination Medical Center idea and the idea that Mayo Clinic in Rochester is competing with other cities around the country. And our, even with this increase, our lodging tax will be quite competitive. We just heard that Cleveland has a 15% lodging tax. So we feel that this would be a fair way to fund our local share. And I'm going to, I've got with me Gary Newman, who's from the city of Rochester, who's going to address this as well. So I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Newman.
Welcome to the division, Mr. Newman, and please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Gary Newman. I'm the Assistant City Administrator for Rochester, and I'd like to send our mayor's regards. We had a council meeting that started at 3:30, and I'm more dispensable than he is to attend those, so I'm taking his spot here today. As Representative Liebling mentioned, this legislation actually was approved last year by both the House and Senate. It was in the omnibus bill. It was in the omnibus bill, though, that was vetoed, so we did have approval of the same essential bill last year. As Representative Liebling also mentioned, in 2009 we received approval for a 1% lodging tax increase and a 1% food and beverage tax. We've been seeking state bonding funds for the, it's a convention center addition onto the Mayo Civic Center since 2007. In 2008 we got $3.5 million in state bonding funds to do the plans and specifications for that project. They are done. The project, the plans are waiting on the shelf in the hope that we can get bonding funds this year. But since the bonding funds have not been secured, neither of those taxes have been imposed. So the 1% lodging tax and the 1% food and beverage tax have not been put in place. They're on the books. They're approved, but we're not collecting those at this time. Last year, the city requested this change. It has stronger support to have a 3% lodging tax in our community to pay for the project. So we would respectfully request your approval of this. I would note historically, our lodging tax has been a little lower than the other five major communities in the larger communities in the state, but this will bring us on par, I guess, with those as far as the total amount of taxes that hit a visitor when they come to Rochester. So we would ask for your approval. Thank you very much.
Yes, and thank you, Mr. Newman. Do we have questions from members? Yes, Representative Carlson.
Sure, and I know it's not part of the bill or it's not being changed, but I'm curious, how far does that extend, that sharing? How far outside of the city of Rochester?
Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson.
I'm sorry, Mr. Newman.
I assume you're referring to the sales tax sharing that we're required to do?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, yes. It was referenced that in our summary here that that's not being changed, and it's not a direct question to the bill that's before us, but I was just curious as to how big the region is that you share with.
Well,
Mr. Newman.
Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson, we're going to share $5 million of our local sales tax proceeds with 17 communities within 25 miles of Rochester.
Yeah, that's what I was. It's a 25 million or mile radius then of the city of Rochester.
I would also note that we've also provided over the years $33 million in sales tax dollars to Olmsted County to build kind of the ring road that goes around Rochester. We've also provided funding for actually two higher education institutions to provide education for the whole area with our sales tax dollars. So we have tried to be, since 1998, very regional in how we've appropriated those funds.
And I
don't
want to get involved in the debate of it. I was just curious how big the region was. Yep. So thank you.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sir, the sunset will be removed in this provision, and if you're successful with that, how will the receipts be used after you have paid off whatever it is you're planning to use these dollars for?
Mr. Newman.
Mr. Chair, Representative Erickson, we don't have any current plan for that. We're limited in the amount of bonding we can issue under this, so we can only issue $50 million in bonds. That will take probably 25 years, honestly, to collect that amount of funding from a 3% lodging tax. So at that point, you know, we would need some additional bonding authority for additional improvements.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to play off of Representative Carlson's question. And you said 25 miles. Is that 25 miles in all directions from the center of Rochester? So you're really taking 50 miles?
Mr. Newman.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mahoney, that's correct. It's the language basically was targeted. There's a list of 17 cities we provide the funding to. But the House, when they drafted that provision, made it 25 miles basically from the geographic center of Rochester, so it's a 25-mile radius around Rochester. And that's the provision that led to the list of 17 cities that some of the funding will be distributed to.
And just one follow-up comment. It's very generous of Rochester to share your wealth that way. I'm impressed that Representative Liebling doesn't have an amendment to pull that out.
Representative Liebling.
Such a kind woman you are.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Mahoney, for kind of scratching at a scab that's there. I'm following the lead of the city. The city is kinder about this than I would be. And it is a rather sore point, because members should know that this has not been done before, where a city is being basically, in order to get authority to renew its own sales tax, local option sales tax, which was done with a vote and was going to be done with a vote of the people in Rochester, that as a condition of being allowed to tax ourselves, that we were basically told that you're going to share some of the proceeds with other communities around you. And I believe that has not been done before. And frankly, I hope that it wouldn't be done again.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Mahoney.
I do believe that it's set a very bad precedent last year, and it is a precedent that is probably not good for the rest of the state, for any other metro area, whether it's Moorhead or St. Paul or Bloomington or any place else. I mean, it's a bad precedent and really should be looked at.
Representative Fels.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, in I guess that I do appreciate this bill, and what you're using the money for is much more directed towards the people coming into the community for conventions and that type of thing than building sewer and streets. So I appreciate that on the one hand. But on the other hand, I actually would have preferred you left it on the food and beverage tax rather than lodging, because lodging is almost 100% paid by people from outside of town, and the people from inside the community pay practically none of that. I'm not going to offer an amendment to make that change, but I just want to say that in one way I like it a lot better, and in any other way I actually don't like it as much. So anyway, thank you.
Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Faust, when I travel, I always pay there are plenty of taxes that are done this way all across the country, and I hear you on that. I think, though, when people travel, you're not hitting people who can barely afford to fill their gas tank. People are buying a plane ticket. They're buying a hotel room. And actually, I think our rates in hotels and those kind of things in Rochester is really pretty low compared to a lot of other big cities. So I don't think that it puts an undue strain on people coming from other places if they're coming for a convention and that kind of thing. And this is something, too, that our hospitality industry in Rochester, which is a big industry in Rochester, is really in agreement with. And if they felt that it was going to cut down on the business, that it was people were going to be price sensitive and not come because of the additional tax, I think they wouldn't have supported it. But I do hear you on that. It's certainly the people who come don't get a vote on the tax, but they do get to vote with their feet, in a sense.
Mr. Newman?
No, only if there's more questions, Mr. Chair.
Questions from members. Do we have anyone else from the public who would like to testify? Seeing none, I will make the motion that House File 297 be laid over for a possible inclusion in the division report.
Thank you, Mr.
Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee, Representative Neuberger, and I will let you begin presenting your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Mr. Chair, I'll move his bill.
Okay.
Yes, because it does need to be moved. I'll move House File 324 to be before the committee.
Just a correction, Representative Erickson, is that a motion for it to stay in the division report? Okay, very good. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, for possible inclusion, whatever you're planning
right,
to do.
Right.
Thank
yes,
you, Mr.
Thank
Chair.
Thank you, Representative Newberger.
Mr. Chair, members.
He happens to be my counterpart, so that's why I'm doing this.
Thank you. And for the record, my phone's off. And so is Mayor Edmonton. We sit before you today. A little nervous. This is my first time in this seat, so now I have an appreciation for how some of you feel.
Freaks.
What we have here is an opportunity. I'm going to have the pages pass this out. I want to introduce my special guest.
My apologies, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Groffler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Neuberger, so this is your first time to this committee, and you did not bring treats. Are you correct?
I was under the understanding that Representative Erickson was going to bake something special, so you'll need
to. You didn't bring trace, Representative.
Well, I'm amending this. Yes,
Mr. Chairman, I would move to table House File 324, and I think we can we'll probably adjourn the meeting. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I withdraw my motion.
I withdraw my motion as well. Just kidding, Representative.
Mr. Chair, do you have any Kleenex?
I have Tic Tacs. Does anyone want to?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Neuberger.
Now I'm off my game. Thanks. What we have here is a city in my district. It's the city of Clearwater. They had back in 2006, they had a number of issues, projects that they wanted to get done, work that needed to be completed. They went through all of the, they jumped through all the hoops. I also got a copy here of the newspaper notice. Long story short, they passed a local sales tax to raise $12 million to complete some very needed projects. They wanted to, there's a number of projects that are listed in the bill. There were seven total projects. Five of the seven were removed because they were not specific when the bill was first put together. They were able to specify those projects. Everything went okay. This bill went through the House last session. It went through the Senate. It was passed without any problems. And then, unfortunately, this piece of legislation fell victim to the omnibus bill and went through the veto process. So basically what we have here is we have the city of Clearwater they have the permission to raise the sales tax. The citizens are great with this. They're raising the money. It's going into the bank, but now what they need is it's just the permission to spend the money on the projects that they already are collecting the money for. So it's just that final green light for them to go ahead and do this. Like I said, we're reintroducing this in this session, and we're hoping to get the green light. These are shovel-ready projects that they're ready to go ahead and start doing. The money is there. Like I said, there's no bonding money. There's no state tax money. There's nothing. This is money that the community has generated on their own. And like I said, they're just here to get permission to go ahead and spend the money that they've raised from their own sales tax. With that, I can entertain any questions if you have any.
Yes, Representative Fowles.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to clarify that the tax has already been imposed and is there, and all we're doing is changing what the money can be used for. Is that correct?
That's correct. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry. That's correct. The money's already there. They are already collecting it. It's going into an account. They just can't touch it. There were two areas that they could spend it on. One was a walk bridge over Interstate 94, which is needed. However, they're gonna wait on that because if the I-94 reconstruction project, they put the corridor through and they widen Interstate 94, then they're going to build a walkway that they're going to have to tear back down again. So that would be a waste of money for them to do. So they don't want to do that because of that possibility. The other one is a community center, and that is in the plan, but there are other projects that the city needs, and that they are shovel ready. The plans are ready to go, and like I said, all they need to do is get the green light from the legislature to spend their own money.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. Any additional questions from members? And I'm sorry, sir, did I hear you were the mayor of Clearwater?
Yes, that's
okay. Very good. Welcome to the committee. Welcome to the division, Mr. Mayor. Did you have any additional testimony?
Yes, please.
Okay, and please state your name for the record.
Yep, it is Pete Edmondson. Took office in January, so I'm the newly elected mayor. Out of those seven projects back in 2006 that voters approved, like Representative Neuberger mentioned, two have that green light. They're just not the preference that we're looking for. The other five were technically mislabeled and then not caught or not communicated as the bills got passed. And so those other projects, those other five projects, last year in 2011 and 10, we had walked through researching. So the shovel readiness and the bidding and the quoting, we'd walked through some of that in anticipation of being ready to go, being passed. So whether it gets put into a bunch of bills or if it gets separated and gets that green light sooner, that would allow us potentially as soon as March to move on those projects.
Very good. Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Mayor, what was the original intention of the sales tax option that was enacted in October of 2008?
The seven things, if I may.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, the pedestrian bridge, which was referenced, the community center and rec center, which still has that. The other projects dealt with specifically parkland, bike trails, and the parks themselves. We have five parks. Each of those parks either had zero playground equipment or zero facilities, splash pads, pavilions, those types of things. With Clearwater being between St. Cloud and Monticello, mm-hmm. there is no true K through 12 high school, hence playground, hence sports facilities, those types of things. So those were the types of park activities that we were aiming for.
So, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Erickson.
So what was accomplished so far? Have you not been, you've used some of that sales tax money, option sales tax so far, to do what you just mentioned? I was just unclear about your answer.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Mayor.
The way that the language is, we have a maximum of $12 million, and we have 20 years.
Yes.
We've collected currently a little over $500,000. And so between 2006.
I see.
We realized in 2008, we came back to the legislature, mm-hmm. Came back in 2010, kind of a series of the voters approved it, and it made sense. At one point, it was just mislabeled from our end. So we have not spent any yet. We're waiting for that.
So, Mr. Chair.
Representative Erickson.
Council, is this typical that we have these return trips to clarify or to modify?
Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, Representative Erickson, Clearwater is in kind of an unusual situation. In 2008, anybody who had a project that was not specific, if they just said parks and trails or something like that, those projects, those non-specified projects were removed in all of the 2000 sales tax bills. Clearwater came in 2010 and said, well, we can tie it to a specific improvement plan, capital improvement plan. And so the legislation passed in 2010 to tie it to parks and rec that were outlined in that capital improvement plan adopted as of a certain date. Well, it turned out, unfortunately, that the plan had never been formally adopted by the City Council. So what they came back to last year was literally enumerating these specific projects that had been included in that capital improvement plan, and that's what was in the bill last year, and that's what you're seeing this year.
Thank you. That was an excellent explanation. Thank you.
Any further questions from members? Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chair, going back to how much has come in since 2008, and the $12 million in bonds, have you calculated what's needed for the debt service on an annual basis?
Mr. Mayor.
Just to make sure that enough is coming in so you'd be able to retire that bonding authority at $12 million. If you brought in $500,000 now in roughly 5 years, that doesn't sound like it's enough to retire $12 million in bonds at the current level. So have you calculated that out?
Mr. Mayor.
At this point, a lot what has happened with the council is just been the waiting for the language. The planning has not been put in place. So the planning of the community center, some of these bigger things that needed the bonding, that was not walked through yet. So that item is specifically sitting at on taking that first step. So that has not been calculated. When we look at the parks and the projects, those were literally going to be a cash in hand almost partnership rather than a full bonding. But no, a lot of that has not been fleshed out yet.
So
Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, so you haven't determined what the total expenditures are going to be. You have a bonding authority of $12 million, but you don't know how much of the $12 million you'll use. Am I following you on that?
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, that's correct. We have, the community itself has not identified our definition of community center and rec center, what's going to go into that, how can it sustain itself. So there are questions that the city still has.
Mr. Representative Carlson. Then I'm kind of curious how you arrived at the number $12 million initially.
Mr. Mayor.
Yep, that is a good question.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm asking that question. How did you arrive at $12 million when you didn't really know what you needed?
Mr. Mayor.
The best that I can answer is the legislative session or the representative who authored the bill. I'm not privy to that information. I could potentially find out the answer, but At this point, I'm not sure.
Well, Mr. Chairman, then you weren't the mayor at that point in time then.
Correct.
Mr. Mayor.
So you're relatively new to probably that issue. Might be interesting to know what the history, if you could provide at least some of us, was in terms of what the original request was when you asked for, or when the city asked for $12 million, when you didn't really know what you were going to do yet. Relative, it sounds like the Civic Center was a big part of that. We built a Civic Center up our way a few years ago, and it didn't approach anything close to $12 million in a community of about 25,000 people. So that seems a little high relative to just the Civic Center, which now I understand the bill before us is to expand it to park and rec and what have you. So I understand that. So now you'll have more projects within the $12 million. But it would be interesting to know what that history was, if the old mayor or somebody's still around.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair.
Mr. Mayor.
I believe the simple math as we back up, the pedestrian bridge was a $2 or $3 million estimate. The recreation center and community center was a $2 or $3 million project. The plan in 2006 was this continued growth and expansion of Clearwater through the orderly annexations like cities have. And so I'm not sure if it was just an estimate based off of future growth or if there was a mathematical equation.
And Representative Carlson, I believe Ms. Dalton possibly had some insight.
Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson, the $12 million was originally what they asked for. For all of the projects, the Parks and Trails, the Community Center, and the Pedestrian Bridge, when they removed all the Parks and Trails out of the authorization, they did not lower the $12 million amount, which is why they don't need to come back in and ask for an increase off the $12 million amount.
Okay, then.
Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, that explains the history then, so you need not provide any more. That I was just curious because that just seemed like a big number for what was being described relative to the bonding authority. Thank you.
Any further questions from members?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Newberger.
Being absolutely new to this process in this committee, I've been kind of watching how the other hearings have gone. And you are going to the motions have always been to lay them over for referral to the tax division. Is this something that needs to be laid over, or is this something that this committee can just give them the green light on that we can send this on to the next step in the process? Like I said earlier, I just want to repeat, kind of reiterate what I said. They're not asking for any new money. This is money that they have generated from their own resources. And really, they've got shovel-ready projects. All they need is the green light to go ahead and to start doing these things. So I'm just curious if there's a way that we could potentially expedite this process.
I believe the motion was to lay this over for the division report, for possible inclusion in the division report.
Okay.
So that was the motion before us.
All right. Thank you.
Any further discussion or questions from members? All right, seeing none, House File 324 will be laid over for possible inclusion in the division report.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, you want to have approved the minutes?
Yes, please, Representative Carlson.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I'll move the approval of the minutes for February 13th.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion prevails and the minutes are approved.
No.
And with that, we will adjourn for the day. Thank you.